Hello and welcome back to Bases Loaded. Today we will be discussing the MLB trade deadline, like a recap, the U.S. women's soccer team was eliminated from the World Cup over this past weekend, and then we'll do a little early NFL preview as we have like the first main week of like preseason games start, you know, this weekend. We had like the game last week. It's like the, what is it called? It's like the Hall of Fame game or something like that, I believe. As, you know, they kind of induct the Hall of Fame people into Canton, and then, you know, they play a game. It's always the Browns, I believe, and then some other team. I mean, it was the Browns and the Jets this year. Don't think I watched really any of it. I don't know how many of the people, you know, played in regards to, like, you know, starters and all that stuff. I know, like, Rodgers and that didn't play for the Jets. I don't really know, you know, who was, like, doing it for, like, the Browns and, like, who wasn't playing and all that. But, you know, it's the first game, first preseason game, like, officially type of thing, you know, and it's, like, a special occasion. They induct, like, the people, you know, Hall of Fame class, I believe during halftime, or is it pre-game. So there's that. It's been a couple of weeks. Busy stuff going on in life. Been like 3 weeks since our last episode. But, you know, we have a little bit to talk about. So that will make up for it. And let's go right into the trade deadline recap in the world of baseball. We had, I would say, you know, it wasn't like a major blockbuster. Or like, you know, in years past, you kind of didn't see it coming or anything like that. We kind of knew that, like, you know, I mean, the big names traded being like Matt Scherzer and Justin Verlander, both from the Mets. It seemed like with the way the Mets season was going that was more and more likely to happen, that both were going to get traded. You know, it was just a matter of, like, you know, you had to work out, you know, the prospects, the money part of it, all that, in regards to a trade, and they were able to work it out. So Matt Scherzer goes to Texas Rangers, and then Justin Verlander goes back to the Houston Astros, and with the Verlander trade and all, the Mets got, like, their number one prospect, like an outfielder. Still in, like, AAA, or no, I think he's in AA. So, you know, maybe a year or so before he's up to the, you know, the major league team, but, you know, that's not a bad, you know, return at all. I think the Mets did have to pay some of that salary. And for both Scherzer and Verlander, you know, because they signed a pretty decent, like, deal. They weren't long, but, like, you know, money-wise, they were not the cheapest. So those are, like, the main thing. You had Jack Flaherty, another starting pitcher, going from the Cardinals to the Baltimore Orioles. The Texas Rangers also got Jordan Montgomery and They got some other Cardinals player. Or maybe it's another trade, because the Cardinals were selling people too. But, so they got that. I know one of the relievers of the Cardinals, Jordan Hicks, got sent to the Blue Jays. We had, in regards to, like, local teams, like, the Brewers made a couple of trades. Nothing, like, you know, big, but, like, that's kind of what this trade deadline was kind of about. Other than, like, you know, Scherzer and Verlander, there wasn't, like, the biggest splash. There was a lot of, like, you know, solid trades to help the team, you know, that made the trade in regards to, like, you know, getting a position of need and all that. The Brewers got, they got Carlos Santana, Mark Cannon, Andrew Chafin, who's a reliever. The other two are, you know, bats and hitters, to try and help, like, a really bad offense of team. My Cubs made, again, nothing, like, crazy. They traded for Jaimar Candelario, switch hitter, like, corner infielder, I believe. Maybe he can play some outfield, I don't know. But I think they're going to try and, you know, just keep him at the corner infield. We got him from the Nationals for, like, a prospect who was, like, I believe 20. But, like, you know, nothing, hasn't really performed well, but, you know, so you can trade him to the Nationals, you know, maybe, you know, a little change of scenery type of thing might help. And, you know, you're only 20, so, like, you still can develop and all that. But, and then the rest were, like, you know, some relievers, I believe, from, one was from Kansas City, one might have been from Cleveland. But he had nothing too crazy. Let's see. Who else? Like, it wasn't, like, I didn't, like I said, like, it wasn't anything too crazy. Because, like, last year we had, like, you know, Juan Soto going from the Nationals to the Padres. We had Josh Hader from the Brewers to the Padres, stuff like that. You know, previous years we had, like, you know, what was it? I think it was 21, yeah. We had, like, Trey Turner and Matt Scherzer going from the Nationals to the Dodgers. We had, like, 2017, you had Yu Darvish going to the Dodgers. A lot of these are, you know, we had some of them that are being, like, the Dodgers. Nothing from, like, the Yankees this year, you know, that I can remember. I mean, like, some of these, I kind of said, like, you know, some of the bigger trades, you know, and then, like, you know, well, like, the big two trades, and then had, like, you know, some kind of minor trades, nothing really, because, I mean, you know, some of the teams that, like, you know, might have been sellers ended up kind of doing, you know, surprising everyone and being, you know, contenders or, maybe not even, like, a contender, but just being, like, performed better than what they expected. So, like, you know, they're not selling this year. As, you know, maybe people predicted. So, you know, you can kind of do that. And, like, you know, maybe use that as a building block into the offseason. And kind of, like, you know, spend a little bit of your resources and stuff like that to maybe take that next step. But I mean, I didn't know, like, for, like, the Rangers to get Matt Scherzer, and then they got Jordan Montgomery, like, they need some pitching. Like, they lost J.W. DeGrom real early in the season, and they just, Nathan Eovaldi, I think, went on the injured list for a little bit. I don't think it was anything, like, major, but it might have been more of, like, a precaution type thing than anything. So, you know, getting Matt Scherzer, getting Jordan Montgomery, to bring in some light starting pitching, you know, help to that team as they try and hold off the Astros and, you know, win that division and, you know, make a deep run into October, as, you know, is what they've been, because that's what, like, you know, these past two off seasons they've done, you know, spending, you know, money on Corey Seager and Marcus Semien, and you know, spending for, you know, more so pitchers this last one. And, you know, this is kind of like their time now, like all that, you know, like they're not in wait now. They're not in wait mode. They're like, let's go for this. And, you know, they want to, you know, take the division away from the Astros, who have won it previous years and stuff like that. So, yeah. And then everyone else, you know, minor trades. As, like, you know, with now baseball, we have three wildcard teams. As well as, you know, just like, you know, 10 years ago, you know, I think they just added, like, the second wildcard team. And then, like, you know, they play in, like, a wildcard, you know, winner-takes-all game for that. You know, now we have three. So, and then the... So I think the top two division winners get buys into the division round. And then those, you know, the third wild division team and then the wild card teams play a wild card series, best of three. You know, higher seed team hosts all three games, and then, you know, then those winners go on to the division round, and then, you know, we do the division round and championship series and the World Series, like it has always been. Well, not always been, but it's been for, like, you know, the past about 30 years or so, when they, you know, did the divisional, you know, wild card era type thing. So, you know, it kind of, like, makes the team a little bit more, you know, aggressive, or, like, kind of willing to maybe go for it if you're close, because you have that, you know, third wildcard team, or spot available, so, like, you can, like, if you're even within a little bit of striking distance, like, you can try and, you know, make some minor, you know, trades. Maybe a bigger trade, especially if, like, you know, maybe they have, like, another year or two of you know, on their contract that you're going to be trading for. So it's not, like, you know, a couple-month rental, and then, you know, they might go somewhere else, or sign someone else, you know, in the offseason. So, I mean, even for, like, playoff teams, for, like, divisions, you know, that's always a thing to, like, worry about, because, like, you know, it's quite a lot to, like, you know, trade for one of these players and give up a top prospect. But, you know, it kind of comes down to, like, how well, like, how do you want to win now without, like, you know, trying to completely blow off, like, your future, you know, team, and, you know, stuff like that, or, like, you know, and trying to, you know, work out all that, so that, you know, those, like, you know, trade, or just, like, trade discussion rooms, you know, would always be, would be a fun, you know, room to be in, where it happens, to kind of see, like, how exactly it works out, because it would be crazy, you know, and all that. And that's, I mean, more so baseball. I mean, you have, like, I mean, you have a trade deadline for, like, other things, with, like, you know, the NFL. It's usually around week 6 or 7 is the trade deadline for that. The NBA, it's always like right around the All-Star, right, I think it's like a week or two after that, something like that. Or was it like in January? Maybe. So it was like end of February, we have like a little over a month, maybe a month and a half, you know, left of the season by that time. So, I mean, maybe not. And then hockey, I don't know. I'm sure they have a trade deadline as well, but I don't, you know, I don't follow. You know, I'm going to try this season to try to follow it at least casually. But I'm sure they have a trade deadline at some point. So, you know, there's that. And, like, I mean, you kind of forget about like, the NFL, because, like, there's usually nothing too crazy. Like, a lot of the trades usually happen in the offseason, you know, mostly. Because, like, I don't recall any, like, big trades happening last year or in the years prior to that. At least, like, off the top of my head. You know, it's always, like, you know, more so baseball. It's, like, the main trade deadline. And then, you know, you have NBA is probably in, like, the second regards to that. But, I mean, we have, what is it? About, like, mid-Feb or mid-August right now. So we have about a little, we've got about a month and a half left of the trade, not the trade, but of, like, the season in regards to baseball. I mean, they announced, like, their, like, postseason schedule, I want to say over this past weekend. So, like, you know, we're close into that. So, like, you know, standing-wise, wild card. I mean, you have some of these are pretty, like, eh. Like, we know, like, they're done. Like the A or the NL East, you know, Atlanta has a 10.5 game lead over second place Philadelphia, 14 over third place Miami Marlins. So, you know, that's kind of pretty much done. The NL West, I mean, you have the Giants are 6 games back to the first place Dodgers, which, I mean, is still pretty doable, but, like, if they're still 6 games back, you know, by September 1st, then, you know, it might not be, you know, the best for them, but, I mean, they're up 2.5 games in the wild card. We'll get to wild card later. But, yeah, the American League East is another, probably, is another close one. We have Baltimore, the 2-game lead over Toronto, or not, yeah, no, Tampa Bay Rays, and then 6 games over third place is the Toronto Blue Jays. AL Central, which, I mean, someone's got to win. The Twins have a 4.5 game lead over Cleveland, and then AL West, it's going to be a tight one, with Texas Rangers holding a 2-game lead over the Houston Astros, and then Seattle's 5.5 games back. And then the NL Central, probably the closest one, because, like, there's 3 teams within 3 games apart. We have the Brewers have a 2.5 game lead over both the Chicago Cubs and Cincinnati Reds. And then the wildcard teams, first wildcard spot is in the NL is the Philadelphia Phillies. Second is the San Francisco Giants, and then third is the Miami Marlins with the Cubs and Reds a half game back, and then Arizona's 2.5, and then San Diego's 4.5 back. In the American League, we got Tampa Bay Rays with the first spot, Houston Astros with the second, and then Toronto with the third, and then Seattle Mariners are 2 games back, with Boston Red Sox and the New York Yankees, 5 games and then 5.5 back, respectively. So, you know, something like I said, we'll watch every, we'll come back every week, you know, see what happens. You know, any changes, I mean, there's a week, you know, between, so, like, not too crazy amount of times, like, you probably play, like, 6 games, but, I mean, that's, you know, you can make up some ground in that. So, I mean, you know, it's kind of something to, like, watch as we go on and kind of, you know, look out as these teams try and make playoff pushes. But you know, we have, yeah, I mean, how many, they probably have about, so we're talking to Mike, let's see, let's start off the, like, the top team in the lead. So we have the Braves at 72-40, so they're at 112 games played, so they have 50 games left. So I'm guessing probably teams have around that amount of games left. You know, in the season. But, you know, September we also kind of have, like, some, you know, weather postponed game makeups, so, like, you know, doubleheaders and stuff like that. Happen a lot too in September. So we'll see what happens into that. And what else? I mean, yeah, I mean, that's kind of all I have. I think of for trade deadline stuff. I mean, you know, most of the trades have been pretty good so far. Which we just had, or, oh, here's something with, like, the Philadelphia Phillies. They acquired Michael Lorenzen, I believe that's how you pronounce the last name, from the Detroit Tigers. You know, as they try and make, like, a wild card spot, you know. Just like I said, like, yeah, with the Braves holding, like, a 10-plus game lead in the division, like, you know, it's kind of, it's a tall task to catch up in the division race. But wild card race, you know, still, you know, a wild card spot still within grasp. So, yeah, they got him, a starting pitcher from the Tigers, throws a no-hitter last night in his Phillies home debut. So I'm guessing he's had at least one start, you know, on the road, maybe two, depending on when he made his, you know, first. So, you know, that's pretty something. Then, like, you know, throw a no-hitter in your home debut with your new team. And, you know, let's see when the where the Phillies are. They are, oh, they have the first wild card spot. Okay. So that's, I thought they had, like, maybe the second one, but they have the third. So, I feel like I just drew a blank on what I was going to say next about that. But, you know, yeah, like I said, we have 15 teams. You know, teams are still close by. Whoa. And then, you know, with this third wild card, you know, spot now that they've done, you know, it makes teams, you know, a little bit more aggressive in the trade deadline to, like, maybe add, even not, maybe not be, like, super aggressive, but can still, like, add, you know, maybe a couple of little key little trades trying to help them down the stretch and then maybe into the future if they get someone with, like, you know, some years left of control on their contracts. So, you know, we'll kind of, like, you know, come back and see how, you know, these trades play out down, you know, down the stretch, playoff push type of thing, you know, in the weeks to come. But moving on to our next topic, with the U.S. or the U.S. Women's soccer team or national team being eliminated from the World Cup, and the knockout stage, so like the round of 16, you know, we have group stage to begin with, round robin, everyone plays each other, you know, top two teams move on, that kind of stuff. So we had, and then, you know, you get to the knockout stage of 16, you know, winner go home. I didn't watch the rest of it on Sunday. They went, I don't know if it was live. I thought it was live, but I don't think so, because I think it happened at, like, you know, I think it was 4 in the morning or something like that, my time. So, you know, that's late, really late to stay up and watch. For that. So, I mean, if it was live, I don't think it was live, though, because I don't remember seeing, like, you know, usually if you watch a sporting event, it'll have, like, you know, it'll say live under, like, the thing on your TV or whatever device you're watching on, you know, as you're watching. So, there's that. So, ahead of, like, you know, a re-showing type of thing. But they lost to Sweden on penalty kicks. From what kind of what they were talking about, as I watched, like, the last couple of penalty kicks, and, you know, them discussing kind of after game, you know, post-game kind of thing, it seemed like the U.S. kind of played their best game for that, which is, I guess, good for them, but also kind of sucks, because they kind of had some struggles in the group stage. I did watch the third game. Was it Portugal? I believe so. Well, like, they had to, like, win or tie to advance, and they wound up, you know, tying. It was really close for them to, in regards to them coming to a loss. They had a shot on goal from Portugal that probably should have went in, but it bounced off the, you know, the goal post and didn't go in, you know, bounced, you know, back. And then, you know, so, you know, that was kind of, like, not their best, and, you know, kind of talked about how, like, you know, I think it was, like, something like the first time they hadn't won, like, their group in a while or ever in regards to, like, the World Cup. I think they had, like, kind of a lot of young talent. You know, you had some veterans. You know, you had Megan Rapinoe, you had, I think, Alex Morgan, were probably old veterans. I mean, there's some awesome players, like, you know, like, this is their second World Cup with, you know, the national team, and then, you know, a bunch of, like, rookies and stuff like that. So it sucks, you know, for them, the rookies, you know, to get out in the knockout round. Especially, you know, when you as a team do not play that well in the group stage, and then you play, like, your best game in the knockout round and lose. So, you know, there is, you know, going to be a new Women's World Cup champion, with the U.S. having won the previous two, as they were trying to three-peat and be, like, the first team, regardless, you know, for sets in the men or women's tournament to win the World Cup 3 times in a row. I think it's happened twice. I think it's happened, like, there's been a repeat in, like, the men's. And, you know, the women's, obviously, with the U.S. in these past, because Women's World Cup has only been around since 91. That was the first one. I believe Germany won. I know 1995 was the second one. That's Norway won. And then it's been like Germany, I think Japan. The previous two with the U.S. Did the U.S. win in 99? I think the U.S. won in 1999. I don't know who won in 03. Something like that. Because they always take place the year after the men's, which in this case was like how many months? Because the men's was like in November it started. And then, you know, was done in December, like mid-December-ish. So, So it's usually like a preview. Especially like the men's, it's always kind of weird because like you have like, they usually have like their Euro competition, which is like, you know, the World Cup for like European teams, which is always a big deal. And then like, you know, and you know, next year will be the Olympics. So that's the Olympic soccer tournament. Not as big as the World Cup because I think they have like half them teams or something like that, or not as many, just because like the Olympics are 16 days, you know. Though I think now with like that they do some of those like kind of tournament based sports or like team sport type things. They usually maybe start kind of a couple days before, you know, the official, let's start like the opening ceremonies and all that. So there's like that. But you know, I don't really know what is next in regards to them, the team as well. We're in like the eight or the quarterfinals now, which will happen over this weekend or today, actually, for one of them, and then tomorrow and Saturday, and then we'll transition to the NFL, and you know, we got preseason, you know, week one. Looks like it actually starts tonight with two games, and then over the weekend for more. So we're like, what, about a month away from the trade deadline? Or not the trade deadline. Jeez. Still thinking in baseball what the trade deadline is. Like, you know, it just happened before like the start of the season, you know, officially. So, you know, it's preseason, so like, you know, it's kind of like, you know, take it with like, you know, a grain of salt, because there are going to be some bad teams that we know are going to be bad this year that will do, you know, pretty good in the preseason. Like, they might go undefeated, they might go 2-1, but like, we know, drew another blank. Which, you know, as we have, like, played three, and then, you know, there's some good teams that we know are really contenders that might be 0-3, or they might win just one, you know, preseason game. So, like, it's kind of like, you know, don't read too much into it. Like, same thing that happens, like, you know, in spring training for baseball, where, like, you know, the top team in each, you know, spring training lead, something like that. Some teams near the top are like, you know, teams we know are not going to do, you know, anything. Same thing with like, you know, the NBA, and then like, you know, there's teams that are going to be good that we know of, and then they'll do bad. So, you know, but I mean, so it's more so not like the team based, but more so like, you know, the player based. And it's preseason, so like, you know, many of the, you know, star players and stuff like that aren't going to play a whole lot. They might play a series or two during each game. But, you know, know, type of thing. So, like, you know, if one player does well, then, you know, you kind of pay attention to more so of how a player does as opposed to, like, the team and all that. And, you know, I don't know how much preseason, like, I'll watch. It'll kind of depend on, like, you know, I guess who's going to play for each team. Like, you know, if it's some rookies and stuff like that, then, you know, maybe that's a little bit more to pay attention to as opposed to, like, you know, some team with, like, star players that aren't playing. Because I don't think, like, Rodgers is going to play for the Jets. Even though, like, he should play at least, you know, a series or two. But I think, like, everyone, like, I feel like everyone should play at least a series or two each, you know, game. Just because, like, you know, when you just, like, the regular season, like, it actually matters. You know, a lot of time you see these players, like, they're not on page with, like, receivers or their quarterbacks. You know, maybe they're a little off in regards to, like, you know, their coverage and where they're supposed to be in defense. So all that stuff. So, you know, you want to, like, be a little bit fresh come, you know, the regular season when it counts. But, you know, I guess you do you. But, like, don't, like, you know, be upset. You know, if, you know, they make a mistake, your team starters out the gate because, you know, someone didn't play during preseason and doesn't know. You know, what exactly they're doing. You know, when it actually starts and stuff like that. So, you know, we'll see what happens then and all that. So, that's kind of a preview for that. Or at least for, like, NFL, like, more like, we haven't, like, really started preseason. Excuse me. Yeah, like I said, like, it pretty much starts this weekend with, like, the first games. So I'll try to see how that goes. You know, I'm more interested in, like, you know, these rookies and stuff like that. Maybe teams that, like, because, like, I'm, like, preseason, spring training, you know, stuff like that. Like, I'm not really interested in, like, you know, teams that are going to be contenders and how they do. I'm more interested in, like, you know, well, even, like, contending teams, maybe, like, they're rookies, you know, more so interesting, like, the rookies and, like, teams that are, like, maybe can take that next step this season, you know, and try and, you know, contend for a championship type of thing. That's what I'm more interested in, so I'll probably follow a little bit of that, at least try and, you know, read analysis and stuff like that, you know, post-game and stuff like, yeah, post-game, you know, from the games, and try and go from there. So, you know, we'll have the week one completed by, you know, next show. So that's something maybe dive a little bit into, see what happens, anything, you know, developing in regards to that. You know, we'll follow another week of baseball, you know, and see what that happens as, you know, again, teams push to the playoff spot and, you know, push for October and stuff like that. So, with that, I believe that's all I got for this week. So, thank you for listening and enjoy the rest of your, or enjoy your weekend. Peace.